Okay, world. Today's daf in Masechet Tzvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf pei, and we're holding on the Halakha Mishnah at the bottom of daf Ayin Tet Amud Beit, and we're going to continue some of the questions of Tarovet that we haven't yet gotten. So we've been talking about the mixture of the behemoths. We've been talking about the mixture of the Evorim. But we haven't really spoken about all of the details of the mixture of the dam itself. And at what point do we have to just give up? We got up to the question of the Yishafech La'ama before. We talked about yesterday the idea of the Gezerah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Machlokas about whether we would make a Gezerah in the Beis HaMikdash, about Machlokas, whether there is a Machlokas about whether we should make a Gezerah in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's talk about today, but till now we've been talking about the mixture of dam with a dam of a behemas chulin, mixture of dam with a chaya, mixture of dam with actually psulia mugadashin, such as Ravea Venirva. And today we want to get into the issue of the mixture of dam of tmimim and bale mumim, and the mixture of damim that belong in different places on the Mizbeach. What do we do about that? Mixture of damim that require different types of bringing to the Mizbeach, whether they're brought above the Chut HaSitra, beneath the Chut HaSitra, whether they're brought in the Derech of Zerika, of Shnayim Shein Arba, are they brought with the Shvicha? All of these issues, Bezrat Hashem, we shall talk about today, and that's going to lead us into a deeper understanding of the issues that we have to talk about in terms of Zrika. Is there a particular amount of dam that a Zrika has to contain? And if there is, can it be gradually be Zorok? Does it have to be one action of Zrika? And what about if there's a mixture? When we have a mixture, do we have a right to assume that there's going to be a proportional mixing of everything, and that since it's a liquid, ultimately it becomes a homogeneous liquid? Or that perhaps we have to worry about the differences that may prevent perfect mixing of the different damim? These are all very important questions that could come up all the time in terms of Tarovet. And so we start with our Mishnah, but we get more complicated, not as rapidly as we'd like, because it's a long Mishnah, but Bezrat Hashem will get dam tmimim bedam ba'alei mumi. So let's say we have a mixture of dam that is roi for the Mizbeach, men for the Mizbeach, it's behemot, tmimot, and it got mixed in with the dam of bale mumim. Now, that's not going to be the same as the chulin mixture, the chayos mixture, which, as we said, is milton lo shchicha, lo gozer berabonon, perhaps. What are chayos going to be doing in the Beis HaMikdash? But when it comes to bale mumim, of course, that's something that could happen. And so, the Tanakhama says, it should simply be yishafich la'ama. And that seems to be, of course, and we're going to see what happens if the kohen brings it, it should be poured down the Amma. Remember, the Amma was a long drain that went along the entire floor of the Azara, so that the different things that fell on the floor that are meant to be washed off on the floor, when we're shotef the Azara, all of those cases, or anything that's pasul, goes down the Amma. So what about if one kos of dam, and remember that idea of throwing it down the Amma, that was, we said, a gezerah. At least that's the way Rav Papa explained it before, because we don't want people analyzing exactly whether there's a rove or not. In order to avoid putting something puzzle on the Mizbeach, we just made a blanket statement. You got mixed up with that kind of dam, pour it down the drain. What about if it's kos bekosot? So until now we've been talking about liquids that mix. How about if the different cups are still, each one is separate? So here, remember, Reb Eliezer has his own approach, which is toiling. Toiling means that if one of a thing we talked about, if one of the heads, if one of the feet become put on the Mizbeach, even whether they were supposed to or not, but the idea is that that would be matir all similar things, because we would be toiling that the one that was put, or the one that was lost, depending on the various cases, is in fact the one that was the Isser. This is Reb Eliezer Shita. And therefore, Reb Eliezer says, even in this case of the dam, if one of these kosot were put on the Mizbeach, then all of the kosot can be brought on the Mizbeach because of his idea of tailing. Before we were talking about, obviously, not Balimumin, and so we were talking about the Evarium of Chatas and Eila, but here, Yukavu Kol HaKosot. The Chachomim say, same thing they said in the previous sugya of the Evarium, I don't care if he brought every last one except the last one, Yishafech La'ama. Everything that's left, if there's just one cup left, then it should be poured down the drain. Of course, this opens up the door to the diuk, that means that Reb Eliezer would argue if there's one left, exactly the same diuk we had before, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara, about whether Reb Eliezer only said what he said, if you bring Shnayim Shnayim and have a migo. Hanitanim lemata, how about dam that was meant to be put beneath the chut hasikra? If we're talking about animals, of course, that means the oila, or the shlamim, and they got mixed up with the chatas, and the chatas behema is supposed to be lamala, because you put it on the kranot. But how about if it got mixed up? What do you do then? So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, remember, I hold also of another special Rabbi Eliezer din, and that's called the din of roin, which means that if I don't have in mind that this is actually an act of hakrova that was in reference to the evorim, I can view it as just being fuel for the Mizbeach. Here, too, my deal is that I say you could put all the dam on top of the chut hasikra. And how can I do that? I'm putting oil of blood on top of the chut hasikra, and that's not where it belongs. Well, I have in mind I'm not putting it on in order that it should go on the Mizbeach. I'm just looking at it as a kind of water, you know, washing off the Mizbeach. So that according to him, remember, the ro'inani, it means that I don't necessarily view every physical act of putting something on the Mizbeach as an act of hakrava. It has to be accompanied by the thought that I'm putting this for the purpose of hakrava. So you're not doing anything wrong by putting the dam lamala. And what's the big deal? If I put any of the Euladam Lamala, the Tachtonim Lamala, I just view that as if it is water, right? That's how I hold the Gabbadei Vorim. Now, after you put a Zrika Lamala, and that way you were Yotze, your Chiev of the Dam Lamala, you can now put whatever is left Lamata. Because that way, if there's any dam of the oila here, it should go lamata. And anyway, I don't do anything wrong because all korbanos have dam lamata. It'll be for the shvicha shirayim. So what's the big deal? Even if it's chatas that belongs lamata because you're supposed to be zorek lamata, even of a chatas, if you're talking about the shirayim. So why do we do the lamala first? Because remember, the halacha is, if you have an eila and a chatas to bring, you always bring the chatas first. The Torah is makdim the chatas to the eila. As the Gemara said, Marsha lamaha davar domeh, you go in and you pay your fine, you make your amends, and then you bring a gift. So too, first comes the chatas, to address the kapar, and then comes the matana, so to speak, of the oila. V'chachamim omrim, nope, this does not work. We don't believe you could put dam that's not supposed to be on the Mizbeach and say, magic, I hereby declare the water. You can't do that. And therefore, you got to pour it out into the ama. However, obviously, if the kohen didn't bother asking what the din is, and he just went ahead and put it on, it would be kosher, because, I mean, you did, sof kol sof, bring the dam lamala. Hanitanim b'matana achat. How about if we got another mixture here? And you have things that are meant to be brought only with one matan dam. So what was that? That was Pesach, and Meiser, and Bechor. All of those only have one matan damim on the Mizbeach. Some have shnayim shein arba. Some actually have arba if it's lamala. So if you have things that are nitonim b'matana achat that got mixed up with other things that are b'matana achat, okay, that's obviously not a problem. If you have the dam, let's say, of meiser and bechor that got mixed up, either they got mixed up in a kos echot, like in the reisha, or they got mixed up in two kosot, like the case of the reisha. What's the difference? All you need to do is give them b'matana achat. And that way, it would be yotzei if they're together. Now, this is not the way we're going to end up understanding it, I must warn you. But we're assuming that what it means now is that if they got mixed up together, then all you need to do is give one matana. Obviously, if it's two separate damim, so then you give both of them to one matana. How about if it's a matan arba ba matan arba? Let's say you got a mixture of the dama ila in dama shlomim. Well, those are both put on a shnayim shein arba on a diagonal and goes around the entire through splashing. It goes around all of the four sides of the mizbeah. There too, either if it's in one cup, give it b'matan arba, and if it's in two cups, give both of them b'matan arba. No problem. How about if it's a matan arba, however, it gets mixed up in a matana achas? So let's say you've got a shlomin mixed up with a bechor. How about there? So what do you do with that? Well, what you can do there is a machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer on there? Well, you could put on a matan arba, because, I mean, after all, if there's any dam there that wasn't supposed to be put on a matan arba, remember, my shita is, you can say, abracadabra, you are not blood, you are water. So, okay, Brian, I said it would be no problem if we have a rowing even on that. So I don't see any problem in that at all. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you always go for the minimum. Look, you know you're going to be yotzei, right? You're going to be yotzei because we said before a klal. Any matana at all suffices for some dam that was going to be brought on the mizbeach achitzon, kol anitanim al mizbeach achitzon, shenitanam b'matana achat, he was mechaper. That was the rule that we had before. I think that that's a gavi concept even. And I don't see the magic wand or any sparks, but could be that it was already there from before. And so therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, go ahead and put it on with matan arba. Why not? Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you don't want to do more than you're supposed to. Says Rabbi Eliezer, but how can you only do one, my dear Rabbi Yeshua? It says in the Torah, lo tigra mimenu, never do less, and you're doing less. So says Rabbi Yeshua, excuse me, my dear Rabbi Eliezer, but it also says, lo tosif, don't do more, and you're doing more. So why is your approach better? Are you over on bal tosif? Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, no, you're not going to be over on bal tosif. Look, I mean, basically, according to me, for sure there's no bal tosif because I believe in roim, right? Okay, you don't hold of roim. But, I mean, certainly, it's not bal tosif if the only reason I'm adding this is to be yotzi, the dam of the oiler, or the shlomim, that this bechor was mixed with. If I was putting it on the mizbeach and I said, I'm making a new mitzvah now that we have to put on four matanais of a bechor, that would be an isser. But certainly, the only reason I'm doing it is because I have a suffix, so I'm going to be yotzi by doing it in order to be matir the oiler. How could that be bal tosif? Lo ne'amar bal tosif, ela kashu ba'atzmo. If you're bringing it because you believe it requires four, that's bal tosif. But if you're fully aware of the fact that there's a suffix here, and I'm only adding these additional matanis in order to be yotzei that's out of the suffix, why would that be bal tosif? There's no kavana to add anything. Oh, my Lord, Rabbi Yeshua, well, I have the same argument. What are you telling me that I'm going to be over on Bal Tigra? Also, the only reason I only put on one was not because I believe that that's the din. It's because I wanted to make sure that I don't put the dam of a bechor where it doesn't belong, in a way that it doesn't belong. So it's clearly not a Bal Tigra. I'll say the same words you said to me. Lo ne'amar Bal Tigra, ela kashohu ba'atzmo. Furthermore, said Rabbi Yeshua, look, how about this? We both agree that there is an element of a Baal Tosif or an element of Baal Tigra. Let's say we each believe that the other approach has an, that's what you said to me. You said, I'm going to be over on Baal Tigra. I said to you, you're going to be over on Baal Tosif. So just stripping it down to that question alone, what do you think you should do? You have an option of not doing something and an option of yes doing something. Now, if you don't do something, it's not going to be an active violation. If you do something, it's going to be an active violation. So basically, we're both faced with a problem of doing more or less. Well, obviously, if that's the issue, always do less, because then it's passive. If you go ahead and do more, then it's active. And because of that, it's a simple argument. If you go ahead and you do an act, kishinatata, so then you're going to be over on Baal Tosif with an actual act of your own. V'asita ma'aseh biyadecha. On the other hand, if you do what I suggest, kishalonatata, you're still going to be yotze, and you're saying, okay, but you were over on Baal Tigra, at least I didn't do anything. I did what I could do, and if it was a Baal Tigra, at least lo asita ma'aseh biyadecha. So it always seems to me that it makes more sense to not act, right? So therefore, we've got two separate issues over here. I mean, first of all, I'm telling you, we certainly don't tell a Kohen to go ahead and put on the extra matanas in order not to be over on Baal Tigra. And besides, that would be exactly the opposite of what we should tell him. We should say, look, it's always better not to act. Now let's take a look back at the Machlokas at the beginning. And here was the question that we've discussed already twice before. And that is this din of Rabbi Eliezer, that you can rely on this idea called Tolin. And I mean on the Ro'in. So that idea is only true if not only do you have, no, I meant Tolin, sorry. If not only if you have a reason to say that one of them was put on the Mizbeach must be the one that was no good, that's only where it's combined with the Migo that you have two that you're bringing now. So any time that Rabbi Eliezer made these dinim, like by the two, if you put one head on, you can bring all the heads, or for one foot on, that's only if you then go ahead and bring two at a time. Lo yakshir Rabbi Eliezer ala shnayim shnayim. Why? Because that way you not only have the tolin, but you have a migo that I know at least one of the things that I'm doing is a mitzvah and it's the right thing to do, because it was only one head, or in this case, only one kasadam that didn't belong. So therefore, I'm able to combine those two things. First of all, tolin, and secondly, it's a migo. But if I'm going to bring them one by one, echad echad, then not. He never was matir that. Motzi Ravdimi. Ravdimi said, how can you say that from our Mishnah? Same question we had the last time that we had this discussion about the Evorim. If the Chachamim say, even if all of them but one were brought, what do you mean all of them but one were brought? That implies that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if all of them but one were brought, you could still bring the last one. But you said you can never bring one. You always have to bring two. And in fact, Omar le Rabbi Yaakov le Rabbi Yirmiya. Now here the Girsa is clearly, and this makes a lot of sense. Excuse me, says Rabbi Yaakov to Rabbi Yirmiya. Bar Tachlifa, Mr. Bar Tachlifa. So he called Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Tachlifa, Bar Tachlifa. So Bar Tachlifa. When it says echad, you know what it means? It means zug echad. It doesn't mean a single one of the kosot. It means another pair of kosot. This seems very repetitive, doesn't it? We had every last bit of this in the discussion of the Evorim that got mixed with the Evorim. Why do we need two Mishnayos talking about the same thing, and then having the same diyukim, and then having the same answers? I mean, like, is this deja vu all over again? Therefore, the Gemara makes a tzrichas up. We need both of these machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim. What we had before was about the Evorim that got mixed up with a Baal Mum, and here we have the Dam that gets mixed up with a Baal Mum. Seems to be exactly the same thing, isn't it? No. Tzricha. Let's say we only had the first Mishnah before, back on Ayin Zayin, where we talked about a Evorim of a Baal Mum that got mixed up with a Evorim of a Tmima. So I would say, yes. The reason that Rebbe Eliezer says it over there, that you could bring up the rest if one of them had been brought, is because, look, we know for a fact that the Dam was already brought, because we only discovered the problem of the Evorim after the Dam had been Zoruk, and now we had brought up the Karban, and now we have the Evorim we were about to put onto the Mizbeach. Okay, so since I know that the Dam was already on the Mizbeach, so it makes sense to say, look, let's do whatever we can to complete the Hakrava of this Eila. You went ahead and you brought the Dam. Let's go ahead and finish up and put on the Evorim if we can find a way to do that. But maybe in the case over here where the Dam itself is the problem, and now you want to know, shall I go ahead and put on the Dam? Well, maybe over there Rebbe Eliezer would say, look, I mean, we didn't start bringing this Eila yet. I mean, we just shechted it, and we're mekabel Adam. We don't know what to do. Maybe he would be moted to the Rabbanan and say it's better not to put it on the Mizbeach and throw it out. On the other hand, if we only had the case that we just read now about mixing Dam, I would say, well, of course, that explains why the Rabbanan would say, you're not going to put on Dam if you don't know that this is the right Dam, and therefore throw it out. But maybe the Rabbanan would agree to Rebbe Eliezer in the case we already brought the Dam, and it was Vadai brought properly, and now the only question is what to do with the Evorim. Maybe they would be moted to Rebbe Eliezer. Therefore, Tzrichai did both cases. Now, getting back to more Mishnayot, and we've been looking, as I mentioned earlier, we've been looking all around Shas for all of the various issues that touch upon the idea of Tarovet. That's why we talked about so many different things. We went to Orla and Mikvos and to Avodah Zorah and to Chulin. I mean, this is like Tmura. We've got everything here. And there's another Mishnah in Parah that seems to be dealing with the question of sprinkling. In that case, of course, it's water, and over here it's blood. But the ideas we've assumed until now are similar. So let's take a look at that Mishnah that we have in Masechet Parah. Tzlochit shenaflu tocha mayim kosher, a little bit of just plain tap water, falls into this very expensive chatas water. And what do you do? So Rebbe Eliezer says, well, it doesn't passel it. What you should do is just put on double the amount that you used to put on. So if you would normally have sprinkled once on someone, sprinkle twice, you know? So yazir shtei hazaot. The Chachamim say, no, you cannot use this at all. Now, what exactly is the machloket? Now let's analyze this for a moment. Before we talk about the Gemara, let's think about the issues that are involved here. Can you use this water? So what do we need to decide? First of all, we need to decide whether we have a right to rely on the general concept that we have in physics of statistics. We don't really know that molecules are going to spread out evenly, and that would be called bila. We know that statistically, over a certain amount of time, that's what's going to happen. Can we rely on the statistics? This is a whole new application of statistics here, right? We've been talking about predictive statistics of El Ruba, the Leta Kaman. We've been talking about the statistics of called the Porish, Miruba Kaporish. We've been talking about the statistics of Bittel, which is less a statistical issue than a conceptual question of whether we can rely Bichlal on what we know is happening. This is like another question. Can you rely on the statistical reasonability of what is called a Gavi concept, Bila, Beis Yud Lamed Hey? Bila is mixing. So can you rely on mixing? That's number one question. Number two question is there a particular minimum that needs to actually be part of a hazah? So let's say the Torah said, sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. Is there a minimum amount of blood to sprinkle? The Torah said, sprinkle the mechatas on this person who's tamei meis. Is there a certain minimum? There is a minimum in the container. Yes, remember, lo yisapeg. You're not allowed to take your finger and roll it around the side to collect the blood. There's got to be vitaval. There's got to be enough blood to put your finger into with tefillah. Same thing is true when it comes to the azov chatas. There needs to be enough water in there that you can dip in the azov and so on. But that's a different question than the issue of whether hazah tzrich hashir or not. Hazah tzrich hashir means the hazah on an individual. The amount of water that touches the person, is there a particular amount or is it just any little bit of that mayim? Or in terms of the mizbeach, it's any little bit of that dam. That's a different question. And I got another question. Let's even assume that there can't no way to rely on the statistics, so you want to make sure that you have enough. Can you do it like a number of times and it'll add up? Let's say I'm supposed to get 10 drops on this guy. Can I first sprinkle 5 drops on him and then sprinkle 5 drops on him? Same question like with the Mizbeah. Does it add up or it's not additive? It defines the act of the Zrika. That is called Zrikos Mitzarfot. The question would be, can they actually add up? So that means really, we have to think about a lot of different things over here. Yesh Bila, Ein Bila. Okay, I don't know. Hazah Tzricha Shiur or Ein Tzricha Shiur? Don't know. If Hazah is Tzricha Shiur, are you able to be Mitzarif, separate Hazahot? Don't know. All of those are variables besides the other issues that we've been talking about until now. So let's take a look at the machlokas over here. The Rabbanan say, no, you cannot use that water. Okay, so I understand the Rabbanan Shita, even if they would hold Yesh Bila, and it's clear that they do hold Yesh Bila, where is it clear that they do hold Yesh Bila? From our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah that if the Kohen went ahead and put it on the Mizbeach, then, and he didn't ask any questions, then for sure it's kosher. What do you mean? Doesn't say he put it all on the Mizbeach. He did a Zrika on the Mizbeach, and that's enough. Why? Obviously, because Yesh Bila and the Chachamim are ready to go along with precisely that Yesh Bila. Okay, so I know that they hold Yesh Bila, but even if they hold Yesh Bila, they would hold that Hazah Tzrich HaShiur. They would say, it may be very nice that I know I got some drops of water on him from the Mechatas, but it wasn't enough because of the need for a particular amount. So you'll say, okay, so do twice. No, they hold Ein Hazahot Mitzarfot. Okay, so that I can pinpoint exactly what the issue is. But according to Rebbe Eliezer, I'm not sure what he holds. Let's try to work it out. Micah Sava. If he holds Ein Bila at all, and therefore you have no right to assume that the two waters mixed, so maybe if you put on only one Hazah, it was all of secular water, just tap water, and the other one, you could say maybe it was all water from the Mechatas, but if he holds Ein Bila, what good is putting on twice? Maybe both of these were tap water. So isn't it possible that Tarvayu Maya Komazi? So it makes more sense to say that he holds Yesh Bila, because obviously he holds it if you put on two, that for sure you've got Mechatas. Okay, so if he holds Yesh Bila, what does he hold about the Shiur? If he holds that there's no particular Shiur, then if you say Yesh Bila, then that means if I sprinkle once, then I certainly got some of the mixture was Mechatas, because Yesh Bila. And if there's no need for a shear, why do I need to do it twice? Must be that Rebbe Eliezer holds that no, there is a minimal shear. Ah, okay. Let's take a look then. What does he hold about Hazaot Mitztarfim? Ikasava in Mitztarfim LaHazaot. What good is it to be mazah twice? You can't add the half a shear of one to the half a shear of another. And if he holds you are mitzarif hazaot, how do you know that you got the whole amount? Because after all, if you're telling me that it could be that this is mechatas, how do you know that even if you do it twice? Now, think about this for a moment. Many of the mefarshim think, as opposed to the very simple and understandable, and I believe the pshat, simple pshat in the Gemara later of the Chazon Ish, many of the Mefarshim believe that the question here is that even if you hold Yesh Bila, how do you know that Bila means that it's a complete statistical Bila? Which to me is, I mean, either one way or the other. I mean, either you hold Yesh Bila or you hold Ein Bila. You can't say Yesh Bila, but maybe it doesn't mix completely, you know. You've got a little bit, but you don't, I mean, that just simply doesn't make sense. And because of that, they don't understand the Gemara. Because the Gemara seems to be saying, even if you hold Yesh Bila, how do you know that even in two Hazaot, you have enough? Right? So they conclude that it must be that it's possible to have a Bila that's not a proportionate Bila. The Chazon Ish says the Gemara is saying for something very simple. And we'll see that this is clearly the meaning of the Gemara later on. The Gemara is saying, you did not tell me the proportions of the mixture. You told me that there was May tap water that got mixed in with May chatas. That's what you said. So then how can you possibly be koveya a particular halacha that says, give two hazaot, if maybe even in two hazaot, there still won't be the proper shear? That's all I'm saying. What if it was only 10% mechatas, you know? How about then? So then you should say so. Okay, so then give 10 hazaos. But it doesn't say that. He says, just do two hazaos all the time. So then how do you know that you got the shear in two hazaot without defining the proportions? So mi yemar demalei leshiur. That's the simplest way to understand the Gemara. Omar Reish Lakish. Now, obviously, how many answers are we going to have? We're going to have three answers because we've got three variables over here. The question of Bila, the question of Shiur, and the question of Tziruf, right? So every one of these approaches are going to be a different way to explain what it is that Rebbe Eliezer is saying over here. So logically, we understand what's coming. So comes along Reish Lakish and he says, look, the point over here is that Rebbe Eliezer holds Yesh Bila. Rebbe Eliezer holds, like you showed, that Hazot Tzricha Shir. And the reason that we're sure that if you do it twice, you're going to be enough is because it was a one-to-one mixture. That's what we're talking about. We should take that into consideration as Davar Pashut. So it was a one-to-one mixture of tap water with Chatas water. And therefore, since the Bila is proportionate, it will certainly, in two, equal what otherwise would have been a one. Two times half equals one. Very simple, says Reish Lakish. That's what it was that Rebbe Eliezer was saying. Rava says, actually, we can point to the Hazot Tzricha Shir as the issue. According to Rebbe Eliezer, you could say Yesh Bila, but you could say, Ein Tzricha Shir. So then why do we need two? Ah, you need two, because if we allow the guy to give one, the guy says to himself, well, let's see, cost me $500 for this little jar of magic chatas water, and I just hit upon an amazing idea. Mix it with tap water. Now it becomes concentrated chatas water. So therefore, in order to be kenesh the person, so that he not be tempted, shall we say, in the wrong direction, we say to him, any mixture is going to require a proportionate additional hazos. That's why we say that you need more than one, you see? So it's just a knas. Kiech de lo mishtarishle. We don't want him to get used to this idea of adding tap water. Rav Ashi says, actually, we can talk about the third issue. Bila itself might be the difference between Reb Eliezer and the Chachamim. And actually, Reb Eliezer holds Ein Bila. And therefore, what you'd have to do, now there's a little piece over here that is missing. Because what we'd have to say over here, in order for this to work, if we say Ein Bila, so we would have no idea what the din would be, unless we're talking about a case where we only have a tiny bit, meaning a mashu, of tap water. If we have more than a mashu, none of this makes sense. And therefore, some have actually put in the girsa, gegorchenisar b'mashu, and therefore, if yotz ein bila, in order to get rid of that first mashu, which might have been the first hazah, might have been entirely that mashu of tap water, but because of that, we need shtei hazahot. And if you have shtei hazahot, then you definitely have some, because you didn't have enough for shtei hazahot of the tap water, so you definitely have some that is kosher chatas water. Says the Gemara, I don't like Reish Lakish's approach. I understand we got three different approaches over here. The Reish Lakish approach does not make sense because there's a braita in which Rebbe says very clearly, not like Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish claimed that according to Rebbe Eliezer, that there is an actual shir, an hazor tzricha shir. But Rebbe said beferish that that's not true. Rebbe Omer, it says in the braita, Ledivrei Rebbe Eliezer, any hazah at all, no shir, hazah kolshuhu is betaharet, because hazah ain't tzricha shir. And because of that, hazah can be mechza kosher and mechza pasul. So, I mean, it's clear that, fine, I don't know why, I mean, Rebbe doesn't say what he holds, maybe he holds that it's a knas to lo mishtar shile, or maybe he holds like Rav Ashi, or what's mashu, I don't know. But he definitely, what's going on over here? You want a tzigizunt in the middle of learning? Ein omrim asuta bebeit hamidrash. And because of that, we keep ourselves on mute. That doesn't mean we don't wish you well. I see we're not getting anywhere here.
Alone
is the button.
I'm out of it. Sorry.
No, your alarm clock is wired wrongly. Sorry, Rich.
No, my body is wired wrongly.
Your brain is wired wrong, Rich. This is
it's all over. I'm gonna see if I can start from the beginning again.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Richie wants us to record that and to put it into the appropriate place, since we're right smack.
Yeah, wait, were we someplace else?
We're learning the Parshat HaShavua, Richie. There are no Mishnahs in the middle of the Parshat HaShavua.
How could that possibly be?
We were so happy that you stuck it out in Zavim today for friends. But I was just amazed that you stayed for the Parshat HaShavua discussion. But now you were still stuck at the beginning of the Daf section for an hour and a half ago, and you were in.
What day is this, Rabbi?
Friday, Rich. Friday.
Try again tomorrow. What can I tell you? Try again tomorrow. Take care.
Later, alligator. What are we going to do? Anyway, so Rebbe, we don't know why Rebbe is explaining things this way, but we definitely know that he's not holding like Reish Lakish, because he says, Beferish, that according to Rebbe Eliezer, Hazah ain't tzricha shir, which tells us that Reish Lakish's approach is wrong. The truth is that what Rav Ashi said is also wrong, because there's another braita that says, Va'otanya behedya, hanitanim lamala shenit arvu benitanim lamata. If you had dam that was supposed to be Lamala michuta sikra. They got mixed up with damim that are supposed to be lamata, let's say like an oilon. So Rebbe Eliezer says, yitein lamala, so sprinkle them on the pork that's above the chuta sikra. And remember, Rebbe Eliezer shita is that I look at the dam of the oila that's been put in the wrong place. I look at it as if it's mayim. And then afterwards, when I put the dam lamata, the tachtonim are going to actually be oila, and it's going to count. Now, how can it count? If you hold ein bila, why would it count? Maybe it didn't mix properly. And theoretically, you may have put all of the damim elyonim lamata and all of the damim atachtonim lamala. So if you can't rely on bila at all, then how do you know that you are not living in a very strange kind of quantum bubble in which it just so happened that statistically it didn't get mixed, you know? So you think this is part of normal life, like we all do, but it has nothing to do with the rest of the universe. That would be the meaning of Ein Bila. Hakabamaya Skinan says the Gemara Rav Ashi, you can't say Rav Ashi is wrong because he's tining that Ein Bila, it could still work out. Maybe we're talking specifically about a case in this Braita where the rove of the dam is dam of Chatas. And he went ahead and he put Lamala, the rove, he put the shear that was enough for all of the tachtonim, plus. So then if that was the case, he definitely got, at least for sure, he got some of the dam of the oila that was lamala, and some of the dam of the chatas that was lamala, and that's what we're referring to. No, wait a minute. What do you mean that's what we're referring to? It says over here that the blood that he put lamata also worked. And so how do you're explaining to me why the dam of the chatas is kosher? But here it says the tachtonim olulu, which means that even the dam of the oila would be kosher that was put on the bottom. No? No. What it means is that it's olulu not to be makshir the korban oila. It's being makshir the shirayim of the chatas that was put lamala. Because since anyway you need to have dam lamata, so it's just explaining. You don't have to get into the question. If you put the dam lamata, you don't have to get the question of do I see it as if it's water and so on. That's not the point. All of the dam, even the dam that's put lamala of the chatas, has to be put lamata for shirayim. That's what it meant when it says olulo. It'll be good for completing the chatas, even though it's not ma'akev, but it doesn't say anywhere that it was kosher for the oila that was meant to be lamata, does it? Come on, I don't believe that's what it means. All right, look, you know what? Let's take a look at the next piece. Natan lamata. How about it says if the kohen went ahead and he didn't ask any questions and he put it all lamata? What happens then? So Rebbe Eliezer says, well, go back and put it lamala, and then put it again, lamata. That way, if you put it lamala, it'll be kosher for the chatas. And now when you put it lamata, you'll be doing the shirayim of the chatas. And then the tachtonim will be olulo. Now, if Rebbe Eliezer holds ein bila, nothing should be kosher. Because maybe only the dam of the oila was put lamala and it's pasul. And maybe only the dam of the chatas was put lamata and it's pasul. No. I'll give you the same answer I gave you before. It's talking about most of the dam is the dam of the chatas, and it belongs lamala. And he, this coin, was yoiv lamala shir tachtonim va'od. Like I said before, there's enough blood here that even if all of the blood of the oila was here, it's more than the oila could have supplied. So there's definitely dam of the chatas. That's what it's referring. But it says that the dam that you put lamata is going to count, which means that there must be dam oila left. So how do we know? Why don't we think that all of the dam oila was put lamala if he holds ein bila? No, I told you before what this means. It doesn't mean olulo for the dam of the oila. It means olulo for the dam of the shirayim of the chatas. It's the same thing I told you before. All right. Take a look at the Sefer of this Braita. If the Kohen went ahead and he didn't ask any questions and he put it Lamala, so then even the Chachomim are made up, Elu ve'elu meidim, he should go and he should be noisin Lamata, because if it's Lamata, it definitely belongs Lamata no matter what it is. If he already put Lamala, so then there are Shiraim of the Chatas that need to be put Lamata, and there's still the Dam of the Ayla that needs to be put Lamata. So the Chachomi would say in that case, go right ahead, put the rest of it Lamata. And then both of them will count. Now, both of them will count. Oh, you're not going to be able to say that it's L'shem Shiraim, because I'm saying both of them count in the same way, in the primary way, right? Elu ve'elu olala. Well, maybe it's the same case, you know? And he puts enough above it that he used up all of the Dam of the Erla and it would still be Dam of the Chatas. No. It says, Elu ve'elu olala. Don't give me that stuff. It's saying that you can rely over here on Bila and that both of them are going to be Yotze. All right. It does say that, but does it say that, Rebbe Eliezer? It says over there that what? Elu ve'elu modim that Elu ve'elu ololo? No, it doesn't say that. I don't see that. It just says Elu ve'elu ololo. That would be going according to the Rabbanan. Fine, the Rabbanan holds Yesh Bila. You can't prove that Rebbe Eliezer holds Yesh Bila from here, because it doesn't say that Rebbe Eliezer would be Maida. Ah, man. Okay, I don't believe this for a moment, but I understand I can't prove it to you if you're so obstinate. So let me bring you a raya from our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah was talking about over here, Aliba, the Rebbe Eliezer, because, I mean, basically, that's what the Mishnah ends up saying, that it says, B'matana Achas, as Rashi points out, that it's going Aliba, the Rebbe Eliezer, the Sefer was talking the Pashtas, according to Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, so then if that's the case, when it says in our Mishnah, Hanitanim B'matana Achat, Shinitavru B'nitanim B'matana Achat, Yinatnu B'matana Achat. Now, if you hold Ein Bila, how can you give one matana, maybe all of the dam of that one matana, if you hold like Ravashi, that Ein Bila, all of that dam was all the dam of one carb. How are you going to be Yotzi the other diamond that was supposed to be brought? If you hold Ein Bila. So, Amayinatnu Matana Achat, Dilma Mihai Kayovi Mihai Loka Yayv. Maybe you're only giving from one of the karbanas and not for both of the karbanas. Well, we're talking about Shinit Arvu Achat Biachat. What happened is we've got a one-to-one mixture, and what it means is that you have to put for each one a matana. That's what it means. So pour twice, and if you pour twice, you definitely are going to be bringing some of each one, even if you don't hold a bila, because you poured enough to make a full zrika of one, and now enough to make a full zrika from the other, and you only had that much, l'chatchila. All right, look at the next piece in the Mishnah. Matan arba b'matan arba, it says give matan arba, but if you hold ein bila, maybe you only gave matan arba from one of the karbanas. So what's the problem? We're talking about the same thing over here. There were four different amounts that four enough for four matanas, meaning shnayim shein arba. So if that's the case, do it twice. It means the same thing. Okay, what about the last case? The last case, let's say if you have a dam of a bechor that got mixed up with the dam of an oila or shlomim. So matan arba matan achat. Here we have a machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua. And Rebbe Eliezer holds, it says over there, that you should put the matan arba. But if, according to Rebbe Eliezer, ain bila, maybe all of that was only the dam from the oila and no dam from the bechor gets on at all. What are you going to answer then? Maybe it means there's only enough that we have four from the one that needs four and one from the one that needs one, so that we have one matana of Bechor Dam mixed with four amounts of Zrikas. And then he would be saying, put all five on, and that way you definitely got the amount that you need. So then how could Rabbi Yeshua say, you're being over on Baal Tosif? Where is there a Baal Tosif? There was only enough for one. Now Tosfos says that makes no sense at all. Obviously it makes no sense. When we say Ein Bila, we don't mean it doesn't mix. We mean you can't rely on its mixing. Right? So Rabbi Yeshua would still be right to say you're going to be over on Baal Tosif. I mean, chances are you must admit that there's going to be some of the dam in the wrong place. I mean, what kind of question is that? You put some of the dam of the Bechor in two places. So because you hold Ein Bila, therefore no dam of the Bechor got onto the other one, that's obscene. Gentlemen, am I talking to any live human beings here? Hello, hello. This is Earth calling. E.T. phone home.
Earth can use some water.
The water was delivered to you by various comets ages ago. Do you understand Tosis' question? Any two-year-old would ask that question. What's the answer? Well, the poshtus of the answer is that you cannot say that you'll be over. You can only say maybe you'll be over. And a maybe on an Isser Baal Tigra, or on an Isser Baal Tosif, is not Baal Tosif, because you're not even doing it. So the chances that something may come up is not an act of Baal Tosif. That's a beautiful svara, right? Okay, so Gemara is taking that into consideration right up front. So how do you explain it? Okay, I give up. So that can't be what we're talking about if we're going to work it out according to Rav Ashi. But what we could say, according to him, is that we weren't talking about a cup that has mixed bloods in it. There weren't any mixed bloods. There were separate cups. The Balul lo pligi. That answers the whole problem. Ki pligi because sot. So since, according to the whole machlokas over here, is about roin, which is the fourth issue. Yesh bila was one question. Hazot zikashir, another question. Hazot mitstarfos, another question. But the original question was what? Do we say roin the dam as if it was mayim, correct? Well, that's the question. If we're talking about kosot, Rebbe Eliezer says, what does it hurt to put dam from both of the kosot? I hold, after all, roin. The Rabbanan don't believe about roin. And therefore, forget about all of this. We're not talking about a case where the dam was mixed in one cup, and that handles the whole problem. Forget about your analysis of the three other issues. They don't arise unless there's a mixture. Obviously, yesh bila is only if there's a mixture. Thank you very much. And therefore, the Mishnah is irrelevant to the question of whether yesh bila or ein bila. To be continued tomorrow after some serious rest, perhaps injections of at least some vitamins, and perhaps even some psychotropic substances. Take a look. Ori is alive, and Liz, she loves every bit of this. Not like a punch. That's exactly it. Give it everything you got. The whole thing. Kol atzmotai tomarna mi kamocha. Exactly. Okay. Mi pi olalim v'yonkim. Yes, Alon.
So we have, I think, on Yom Kippur, when they would take a cup and collect all the dam and then spritz it to make sure it's the Gemara,
and that's a special
right.
That we'll learn out from a pasuk, that ain't dam of atel dam is a different issue.
So, but that wouldn't apply over here, and Lava being memaris, I mean, you'll mix it up. So let it go and give a shuckle to the cup.
You mean you believe that you can affect the statistics by shuckle? We're not going to mix it lechatchila. We've got a problem. What do we do now? We're not mevatling things lechatchila. We have to act with them, whatever happens. That's the
dinner. It's already in there.
We don't do something to create a bit.
That would make it more. Okay, got it.